As dark as the rhetoric around refugees has been lately in this country, research consistently shows that the more contact Americans have with people from diverse backgrounds, the less fear and the more appreciation they actually develop. Few places demonstrate that as clearly as Nebraska, where organizations like the Lutheran Family Service have worked for years on this issue. Joining me now is Lacey Studnicka, who's the development officer for the Lutheran Family Services Refugee Program. Lacey, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much.
So it was really great to read about your program in the Washington Post this week. I wonder if you'd start maybe just with a brief history of what you do to help refugees in Nebraska and beyond.
Wonderful. Yeah, so Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska has actually been around for 125 years, and we have been welcoming refugees since the 70s. So we've welcomed folks from Vietnam and the Hmong, and then really people from all over the world. We are the largest refugee resettlement agency in Nebraska. So last fiscal year, we welcomed over 1,000 refugees into Nebraska from all over. So our services really, you know, the bread and butter is we have that federally funded refugee resettlement program that lasts for 90 days. But as an agency, we've recognized that 90 days is not enough time. And so we have expanded our services. So we also provide extensive education and employment services. We have ESL classes. We help refugees find jobs. And we've been number one in the country to do that. We have about an 85% success rate placing refugees in jobs in the first 60 to 90 days that they're in the U.S. And then we also have the International Center of the Heartland in our office, which essentially allows us to serve all of our newest neighbors, refugees, immigrants, asylees, victims of international human trafficking, for as long as they need it. So even if refugees move to Nebraska from other states, they can come to us and receive services. And we've served over 5,000 people in that program. We have immigration attorneys on staff. We have interpretation services. We have a culturally appropriate food pantry and also a full-time therapist. So it's really a wraparound welcome for our newest neighbors.
Obviously, we're having this conversation in the context of a lot of really non-factual rhetoric about who refugees are and where they come from and what their interests are. I'm just wondering if, you know, you have all of this firsthand experience. Maybe you could just tell us a little bit about where refugees are coming from, what they're coming here for, and just some of your own firsthand experiences with the families that you've worked with.
You know, every year the president determines how many refugees are allowed in the country and then from which countries they're allowed from. So that decision on who comes in is made well above my pay grade. But we have welcomed families to Nebraska for the last 5 to 7 years, a lot of families from Burma, and they have lived in refugee camps in Thailand for about 20 to 25 years. And we also have refugees from Bhutan who have lived in refugee camps from Nepal for an average of 17 years. We serve a lot of guys from Afghanistan and Iraq who were interpreters for the U.S. military. And so they're here. But a refugee is the victim of war and of violence and of terrorism. And they are folks like you and me. They're mothers and fathers who want safety for their children. Once they escape their countries, they go to that second country. For the Burmese, that's Thailand. For the Syrians, that might be Jordan or Turkey. And they register with the United Nations as refugees. Once they're in there and they're registered, if refugee resettlement becomes an option for them, they can apply for that. And it takes an average of 3 to 5 years for refugees to get through our very rigorous vetting process. They have to be vetted through FBI and CIA and Department of Justice and Department of Homeland Security, biometrics, fingerprints. It's a very extensive process. We think about these numbers. I think the biggest misconception is people see the crisis in Europe, and they think that's how refugees will come to the United States. And that is just not how that happens. The refugees that are allowed into the United States have gone through our rigorous vetting process, if you were to combine all of the refugees who are offered permanent refugee resettlement in Canada, Australia, the U.S., the U.K., you combine all of us, it is less than 1% of the world's refugee population that actually gets an opportunity for permanent resettlement. So those numbers alone can tell you that it's a very difficult process already to get through. So the families that come to the United States, they are giving up the hope of returning home and having the moral courage to start over for the sake of their families. They want a better future and they want safety. And we have a legacy in this country of providing safety and hope for those who need it. And it's been my pleasure for the last 15 years to be working with this program, seeing the resiliency of the human spirit and seeing what these families contribute back to our country. You know, they find jobs. We have over 400 families from Burma in our community who have purchased homes within the first 18 months to 2 years of living here. You know, so they're owning businesses and buying homes, and it really is the American dream. It's a beautiful thing to witness.
You know, one of the things the Post article did was talk about some of the positive impact refugee families in Nebraska have had. I think probably when a lot of our listeners, you know, think about Nebraska, they don't think about the more, I don't know, diverse refugee communities that come and enrich
right.
the community. So maybe you could give me one or two examples just of some of the positive impact that families have had sometimes creating communities in Nebraska.
I think people all across our country are very welcoming, and we're seeing that now through the lens of this crisis. But what's been amazing in communities all across the country and even in Nebraska are refugee communities and how they organize amongst themselves, how they reach out to community, and how they really are bridging that gap. I mean, a lot of times for Americans, and for Nebraskans, it's a little outside of the comfort zone to just meet someone from a different country and you have questions and who are they? And so we try to be a place where people can meet each other. And so we have a lot of churches and different faith communities who help to welcome families, and they just become family to each other. And it's been just really wonderful to see that. The Karen from Burma, they are building a $2.5 million church. They're very organized. They have their own 501c3. They're, you know, really emerging as community leaders in our state.
How can we make change in this area? You know, the gap between reality and rhetoric is so large where, you know, there are those in the government at the highest levels of government who are just saying things that aren't true about refugees and that are, you know, that are so harmful and so different from what you've been talking about, you know, based on actual experience. What would you suggest for people wanting to help to learn more themselves and to, you know, just kind of help spread the truth about refugee communities rather than these really unfortunate untruths?
Yeah. You know, for us, really the bottom line, for a long time, I used to say that refugees sort of went invisible in our community. People just didn't know about them. That is no longer the case. So there's always opportunity in crisis. So my biggest suggestion is meeting people. That's where those barriers break down. And so for folks who want to learn, I would suggest that they reach out to their local refugee resettlement affiliates. We have, you know, refugee resettlement is in almost all 50 states. I think Wyoming might be the only one that doesn't have it. But they, you know, reach out, have a refugee come and speak to your congregation or, you know, to your faith group or your book club and learn about the process. I think we break down barriers when we can meet each other and we can know each other. And I know refugee resettlement agencies right now are hungry for the opportunities to educate about the process that we all have a lot of faith in and believe in so much.
Just conversely, has there been any impact that you've seen of some of the anti-refugee rhetoric in Washington and elsewhere that it's had on the communities that you serve?
Well, I'll tell you, when the executive order was signed, there was a lot of fear amongst refugees. you know, they already have fled and are targets of terrorism. I think of my interpreters that came here from Iraq and Afghanistan. These are guys who are on the front lines saving American lives. And because of that, they were essentially being hunted by Al-Qaeda or the Taliban. And so they had that fear of, am I going to be deported or what's going to happen? So I think that has happened. But what has really countered that is the incredible amount of public support. When they can turn on the TV and see hundreds and thousands of people rallying and doing vigils and going to airports, there is a sense of solidarity. And I think that is a sense of hope. And hope for them, because they know they're here for the right reasons. They're here to make America better.
So, Lacey, thank you so much. We're just wondering, how can listeners find out more about this work and support Lutheran Family Services?
So go to our website, lfsneb.org. You can learn all about us. There's been some great stories. And if you go to our Facebook page, Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska, we had one media story that just went viral about one of our neighbors to a Syrian refugee who hated Muslims, and now he is like family to these new refugees. And it's a beautiful story that's on our Facebook page, Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska. But also, you know, reach out locally. The folks in your own cities and towns who are welcoming refugees need love and support right now as well.
Lacey Studnicka is Development Officer for the Lutheran Family Services Refugee Program. A hope-giving story on this work was published last weekend in the Washington Post, and we'll link to that from stateofbelief.com. Lacey, thanks so much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Well, thank you so much for inviting us.
That's all the time we have for this week's show. I'll now turn things over to State of Belief producer Ray Kirstein to tell you about how you can support the work that we're doing here at State of Belief and the Interfaith Alliance.
We are very grateful Dr. J. Michelson was willing to step in for Welton Gaddy on very short notice. When he's not wearing headphones, Jay wears at least two hats. He is a rabbi, meditation teacher, and leading writer on contemporary spirituality, whose latest book is The Gate of Tears, Sadness, and the Spiritual Path. Jay is also an attorney and a widely read columnist, as well as a longtime LGBT activist and leading expert of the religious exemptions movement. If you've made a donation to State of Belief Radio this week, we want to say a sincere thank you. We are counting on you now more than ever, and quite frankly, so are many listeners who aren't able to find the voices that we amplify week after week anywhere else. If you've heard something that you found to be helpful, share it with others who might also benefit from hearing it. It's easy to do that on Facebook and Twitter. Direct them to stateofbelief.com, where they'll find full episodes, an in-depth archive, extended interviews, transcripts, and links mentioned in the show. That's stateofbelief.com. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, that's State of Belief.
I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.